What is the difference between easy and hard? Well, according to my guest today, Anthony Flores, it is the stories that we tell ourselves. Anthony is a health and wellness coach who has a philosophy called the easy day life. And he's going to talk to us about that today. And what it really boils down to is this. We all go through challenges, but it's our perception of the challenges that makes the difference. And this is something that Anthony has personal experience with. As someone who was significantly overweight and lost that weight and has kept it off, as someone who is a cancer survivor, as someone who has built a business for himself, he understands the challenges that life can throw at us, but it's thanks to his easy day philosophy that Anthony has been able to overcome a lot of these challenges and become successful. So today we're going to talk a lot about Anthony's story and give you guys just a lot of insights, especially things that you can apply back to your health. So, you know, fitness, nutrition, sleep, mindset, all those different aspects of health is really where we're going to dive into this conversation today. And I know you're going to get tremendous value from it. Welcome to the Unshakable Habits Podcast, where we help you to build the habits and routines that help build the life you want so you can turn everyday actions into powerful wins for your health, mindset, relationships, faith, and professional growth. I am your host, Stephen Box. Allow me to introduce you to our guest today, Mr. Anthony Flores. Anthony, welcome to Unshakable Habits.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's just truly a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man. Excited to have you. I know you and I can have similar backgrounds and in terms of our education, a lot of the same courses and certifications. And so we have some similarities. I'm going to be curious as we go through this conversation to see if maybe we differ a little bit and maybe gives people some different insights on some things. So it's always fun to dive in and just see how that turns out.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's start off, man, before we dive into your story, because you have a really interesting story that I think people are going to be interested in hearing. But you have this concept, the easy day life. So talk to me, what does it mean to have the easy day life?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, honestly, it's about someone that's willing to endure the things that most people don't want to. It's like the hard things that we tend to avoid in order to have that sustainable, happy, healthy lifestyle that we all dream of. But for some reason, we just can't get ourselves to do it. You know, it's hard at first, but at the end, it's easy. It turns out to be easy. The more we could consistently just follow through on the things that we see we're going to be doing, life is just a little bit easier, or a lot easier in my case.
Well, why do you think that is? Why do people struggle so much? And why do we make things so much harder than they really need to be?
Ultimately, it's their mindset. It's the stories that we tell ourselves. And like environment plays a huge role in that too. Like the people that we surround ourselves with, like the culture that we are a part of in our communities. Like, for instance, where I live, it's a big drinking town, and it's really hard to, you know, separate yourself because it's the standard. But in order for someone to make, or if, in order for someone to make those healthy changes, you're looked at downcast, like you're weird. Like, why are you doing that? So it's almost like we want to please people, but at the same time, we're hurting ourselves. So ultimately, it's the mindset of it. We don't want to, we convince ourselves to not to do it.
Yeah. You bring up something that I find so interesting in our world today, where real food, right? Meaning, you know, meats, fresh vegetables, things that, you know, actually come from nature are considered weird. And things that are like technically, I call it fake food, you know, things that are like heavily processed and, you know, come in a box and things like that are as far away as possible from their natural source. For some reason, people consider that real food. I'm eating real food and you're eating weird food. I'm like, no, that's not.
Right, yeah, I totally get what you're saying, because that's, as you can relate, obviously, you know, we're looked at differently. And I'm like, why are you eating that? That's, or you're eating healthy. And I'm like, aren't we supposed to do this? Again, it comes to the environment that we're brought up in. You know, we're so accustomed to the highly processed foods, and it's just the norm, but you stand out in that way. Or are you trying to lose weight? Or are you trying to go on a diet? No, I'm just trying to feel better here, function better at the same time. And, you know, people get ripped on for having, you know, the simple meals that they eat regularly. Oh, again, you're going to have that. I'm like, it's simple for me, man. It's all good. Don't worry about me.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the same thing happens with exercise and sleep and right. Just anything you do to take care of yourself. And I think that actually is one of the reasons why people do struggle with this and why they have those mindset issues, is that there's oftentimes so much resistance when people do try to make the change from the people around them. Right.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like I had actually it was the first interview that I published with the new season once we changed the direction of the show over to focus on men. And it was an episode where we were talking about alcohol use. And my guest, I think it was Sean Robinson, he talked about starting a dry January challenge. And, you know, his friends were like, okay, you know, whatever. It's dry January. It's a thing. Okay, cool, whatever. And then even dry February was permissible. So they were like, okay, you know, it's, I don't know why you're still doing this, but whatever, right? By March, dude, what are you doing? Why are you still doing this to yourself?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, come on, just come back. That's, you know, like people pull you, tried to pull you back in. But no, I'm feeling good. I'm good right here. Like, coincidentally, like, we're on this subject, but it's a little bit different. Like, caffeine, like, I've been 52 days without it now. And people ask me, like, how are you surviving? I don't know. I just do. I feel like I just eat better. I have the right supplements. I get the right amount of sleep, first and foremost. Yeah, and my biggest inspiration statement to myself was, I am the energy. I drink coffee again. Absolutely. But I'm not going to abuse it like I once was. Consider myself as a pothead, like drinking a pot of coffee, right? But yeah, it's like people just look at you weird if it's you're doing something totally out of the ordinary, no matter what.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things I think people also get this idea of it has to be all or nothing, right? It's, yeah, well, either I have to be the person who goes and works out every single day for an hour, and I have to eat nothing but healthy meals, and I have to be in bed by 7 p.m. or whatever nonsense they've come up with, right? And it's, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It's like there's wiggle room.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's something that I preach too, is you've, a lot of people I tend to work with tend to be like perfectionists. I'm like, let's just be consistent. Just be consistent. Yeah. Like, that's all you got to do. Like, if you have a off day, whatever, just pick it up the very next moment, the next day, whatever the case may be, next meal, whatever. Yeah, it's simplicity and consistency will get you closer to your desires.
Absolutely. So let's dive into your story real quick. So you've actually overcome obesity. That's something that you and I share, and you also have overcome cancer. So talk to me a little bit about those two situations.
No, yeah, sure. Let's go on a journey. We long time ago. So I'm 38 now. It's when I was graduated high school. Well, 20 years ago. Wow. I went up a flight.
To have you feel old at the moment here.
Yeah. Right, man. Wow. But anyways, I didn't have any motivation to do anything after high school. But I felt like a complete loser though. Like, I saw people, enrolling to college, going to college, enrolling into the like army or whatever military branch, and getting married at that age too. And here I was, man, just sitting at home all alone, barely graduated high school too. I don't know what to do. I just feel like a complete failure, and I have no desire to do anything. Like, why am I here on this planet for? Yeah. And I just hid for a long time. It was maybe like finally like about a little, like almost 2 years, and finally something clicked in me. I went up a flight of stairs, 14 steps to be exact. And once I finally reached to the top, I realized I was this huge dude, real fat dude, like my 350 pounds worth. And like, I was hard for me to breathe. And that was like the climax of it, like the moment of, I need to do something. I cannot live this way anymore. And I was in that state of mind. Who could possibly love me at this body, this huge, large body? And I'm like, nobody except for my mom. And of course,
I just want to pause here for just a second.
Yeah, of course.
And I want to highlight something for anyone who's never been really overweight. When they hear somebody say something like, I suddenly realized that I was this big guy, right? Yeah. They're like, how did you not realize? But as someone myself, you know, I'm only 5'7". I was 245 at one point. I might have actually been higher than that. That's just the highest I ever saw on the scale. But I may have been higher than that at some point. But I didn't realize it, right? It's so weird. I can't explain it to people. But for some reason, because the weight gain is usually so gradual, unless you're really paying attention, unless you're doing measurements, unless you're on the scale all the time, unless you're doing all those things, you really just don't notice it. And I wanted to point this out because there's some guys out there right now that are saying to themselves, hey, you know, I'm not that bad off, man. I just need to lose like 20 pounds. Go step on the scale.
Yeah.
You might need to lose more than 20 pounds and you might not even realize it. So I just wanted to pause and point that out because I know that is something that when people who have never experienced it hear, they're like, how do you not know you're 350 pounds, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's I don't know. It's like you said, it's very hard to explain. And then, of course, like I said, I was in that environment, that culture. I blended in with large people. So it's not like it was just a normal thing.
Yeah.
You know, oh, he's just getting bigger. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But nobody has said anything to me.
Yeah.
I wish someone did. I'm like, hey, man, are you okay? I was like, and that's like another thing too. People are too nice. But they could say something, you know, like in a nice way. Hey, I've noticed you've put on some extra weight here. Is there anything all right? And you're like, sometimes that's all it takes for some people to open up their eyes and be like, wow. You know, and says, hey, you're a fat fuck. I'm like, I'm sorry. sorry, I don't know. Apologies for the swearing. But sometimes you just need to experience that moment like I did. But if you have friends, family members that you notice that are getting larger and larger over the course of time, do them a favor and ask them if they're okay. And they will really appreciate it. You know, if you hurt their feelings, and so be it, whatever, they're going to be okay. But anyways, being at that state though, I made a decision to never, ever feel that way ever again. I never want to feel out of breath, like the way I felt, ashamed of myself. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done being this loser that I thought I was. So I was like, the next day I signed up to the YMCA. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all I knew at the time though, Steven, was I got to put some sweatpants on, a hooded sweatshirt on, and get moving and sweat. And I went off of Rocky movies. I went off of men's health magazines. Yeah. I didn't have a plan or anything. I just needed to start. And I think that's a lot of people's reason to not even begin anything because, oh, I don't have a plan. Like, all I got to do is simply just start. But anyways, I went to the gym, hooded sweatshirt. And when I walked into the gym, all I saw was a bunch of cardio machines. The treadmills were all being used. I'm like, I really don't want to run anyways. That looks too hard. I saw the recumbent bike. Nah, that looks too easy. Yep. Then I saw the arc trainer. I never seen one of those things before. I'm like, ooh, this looks pretty cool. Stepped on one of those. Guess how long I was on there, Steven?
About 30, 45 seconds.
Oh, cool. I mean, that's too slow. Okay, too low, I mean. But give me some credit. I was on there for 9 minutes, man. 9 minutes. Oh,
well, that puts you about 8.5 minutes further than I probably made it the first time.
But 9 minutes. And, you know, it was like the hardest thing in the world for me at the time. I'm like, this sucks. Why do people do this? Why do people like do this on purpose every single day? And I'm like, I'm out of here. I left yeah. right away after that. It was way too hard. But I had a good conversation with myself again. Hey, I used to be called Tony at the time. Hey, Tony, you said you want to be fit. You want to be healthy. We got to do these things now. Because or else you're just going to keep sitting in your room playing video games, watching MTV, and being alone for the rest of your life. Do you want that? Yes or no? No, of course not. I want a date. I want to date those beautiful girls that I've always imagined myself dating. I want to run freely. I want to go up a flight of stairs with ease. You know, I had nephews and nieces at the time. They're little babies. I'm like, you know what? I want to be a good role model for these kids.
Yeah.
I want to play with them. I want to be on all fours without feeling like a chore.
Yeah.
So anyways, I went back. And that's courageous. Like for anyone that just decides to go back, that is, you're one courageous individual
yeah.
to want to make that decision to go back. Because you know what? You are sick and tired of feeling that way. And you can't stand seeing yourself in the mirror. I couldn't. No way. And that's why I always wore the sweatpants and sweatshirts to hide myself. And plus, that was like my superhero cape, I guess you could say, just like to go in and just like yeah. zone in on myself and just get after it. Like I really didn't talk to buddy the first couple of months when I was there, because all I did was like, I was super shy for one. And I just wanted to get it done. But yeah, over a course of a year, I lost over 100 pounds and life dramatically changed for me. I'm like, wow. And people started noticing me. People wanted to hang out with me. I'm like, what is going on? It was surreal. I'm like, imagine this stuff all the time. Like I'm going to hang out with people. I'm going to go and do things. And it's really happening to me. I'm like, wow, yeah. This is so cool. And I'll never forget the first woman that came up to me and said, hey, you're pretty cute. I'm like, are you talking to me? I'm like, yeah, exactly. Right. I'm like looking around. I'm like, I thought you were talking to my friend maybe, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I felt like I made it, Stephen.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is so great. Like, I'm living my best life. We didn't say that at the time, but I'm living my best life and nothing can stop me. I feel incredible. I have a pretty safe and comfortable job. I have a beautiful girlfriend. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But then one day, God decided to test me. The universe, higher power, whatever you want to call it. I felt a very sharp pain. My testicle, it was super solid, like a golf ball. And it was so hard to walk, but I refused to go to the doctor because I'm a guy. And it'll go away. I'm like, it's no big deal. I'll just tough it out. No
yeah.
problem. But it affected my work performance. I was working at a lumberyard at the time, and like my coworkers noticed me like, hey, you, something's wrong with you. You should really go check yourself out. But like my girlfriend at the time too, you really need to go see the doctor. And it was a Friday. I finally gave in. I'm like, fine, let's go. Well, I got to just get this over so people can just leave me alone. And I went to the walk-in clinic. They're like, hey, you need to go to the ER or something. Like we can't do anything for you here. I'm like, so, all right, whatever. So went to the ER, got some testing done and gave me some medication to numb the pain. And they said two things. There's two options here, Anthony. You either have a twisted testicle or you have testicular cancer. Right away, my brain went straight to twisted testicle. I'm like, I don't have cancer. I've been taking care of myself the last 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
No way. So I was just never crossed my mind.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, I was tremendous amount of pain again. And then Monday finally came around. And I went to the doctor's office to get my results back. I went there alone, too. Doctor walks in, barely introduces himself. And he went straight to the point. Anthony, you have testicular cancer. And oh my gosh, Stephen. I cried right away, instantly. I looked up at him and I just put my hands over my eyes and I'm like, cry like a baby. Oh, I just can't be. There's no way. And the very first thing I asked him was, am I going to die? 17 years ago, cancer was super scary. I mean, it still is. It still is, but it felt like a death sentence to me when he said that to me. I was alone too, which was like the hardest part. I had no one to lean into. I was just by myself. But he assured me, you're not going to die, but we need to do something. We need to take action right now. But I was in complete denial. No way. I don't have testicular cancer.
Yeah.
And I went to go get a second opinion because that's what guys do.
We don't want the first opinion, but then, you know.
Right, yeah. Right, so
the first opinion is not what we like. We go.
But yeah, I went to get a second opinion with the testicular cancer specialist, and he said, hey, it's like you do indeed have testicular cancer. The only thing different was I would have put you in emergency operation right away. Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, right. What? So that's where I just like accepted it. I'm like, okay, whatever. Let's do this. Let's get it done. Let's go to OS so I can get my life back then. Let's go. So I went back to my original doctor and let's make it happen. So that was hard, like going through the recovery part. Yeah, like I was back at that obesity state again because I was alone. I was stuck at home because I was recovering at the time. I couldn't do anything. And I just started having all these thoughts again of like, I'm worthless. Or I'm like, I don't deserve happiness because this is happening to me right now. I'm like, and then I started thinking, what's my girlfriend going to think of me if I have one less testicular?
Yeah.
Is she going to think less of a man than me?
Yeah.
And I like almost, I'm ashamed to tell people.
Yeah.
That I have cancer. Because whenever I shared the story that I had cancer, like I'll never forget people's faces when I shared it with them. It looked like it was like it'll be the last time they saw me.
Yeah.
And I hated those faces.
Mm-hmm.
But that drove me, though, at the same time. Like, it's something ignited in me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I am not going to let this define me.
Yeah.
I'm coming back. Like, I'm prepared. Like, I already went through obesity. I can do this, too. I had to champion myself. I had to crown myself as a winner again. I'm like, this is just temporary.
Yeah.
So let's go. And, like, I went through radiation treatment, and that took a big toll on me. My energy levels were super low. Like, days that I did have to work, I was just drained. And, like, yeah. I would have to get treatment every single day. And one of the things that the team told me was you should like, don't work out, just conserve your energy for treatments and all the other things you need to do. I'm like, no, like in my mind, I'm like, no, like back then actually they told you not to, but like today they actually encourage you to get activity in. Yeah. I like to take credit for that. But you know, like they started noticing, like they would weigh me in every single day too for my radiation treatment. They started seeing the fluctuation of me going down because I gained a bunch of weight because I was depressed and in my feels. They're like, Anthony, is there anything all right? Like you're losing weight quite a bit. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to the gym. They're like, but we're telling you not to. I'm like, I'm gonna go. I'm not going to stay at home because I know what that's like.
Yeah.
I was like, I wasn't going to the gym to like for PRs or anything like that. I needed to be in that environment of people wanting to be healthy and have this purpose to become something more than they are.
Yeah.
I wanted to be there. Like sometimes I was just like, sit there and just hang out.
Yeah.
I just like the fact that just me being in there and seeing people that make me feel good. That's all I needed.
Yeah.
Like a slow walk, brisk pace walk, or just like light weights. That's, if that was my best, that was my best for the day. And I would just keep going.
Yeah.
And, you know, one day, one of the nurses came up to me. Mind you, like I'm on this cold medical table exposing my body to this whole team while they zap me with radiation. She comes up to my to the side. Anthony, why do you keep going back to the gym when we ask you not to? You know, like I turned to my side and I looked at her. And because I want my life back. I want my life back. And you can just see, like, she was wearing a mask. You could see, like, her cheeks just rose up. And she's smiling, of course. And she just says, okay. And they stopped asking me after that. I'm like, good. But yeah, it's so like after that, you know, Lance Armstrong was a man at the time, too. So he was a great motivator for me to just keep going, keep pushing.
Yeah.
You know, like, no matter what people say about him, what he did, it doesn't matter to me because he was my inspiration. He gave me hope.
Yeah.
And I'll Bill forever be grateful for that. Cause like there's a lot of programs out there for cancer patients and survivors. Yeah. I didn't have any of that. That was my support, watching him conquer and then dominate Tour de France at the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, if he can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when I got into doing endurance events because I was inspired by him. I did from 5K runs to full marathons to, you know, sprint distance triathlons, all the way up to a full Ironman distance triathlon to, like, I even got a chance to compete at a world championship for triathlon, like a US age group competition too. And got into functional fitness competitions as well. Got to compete in world champions there too. And it's like looking back and wow, I did that.
Yeah.
It's a story Disney can't even make up. Yeah. You know, along the way, people noticed my story, like what I've been through and what I was doing. And have you ever considered being a personal trainer? I'm like, no. Like people really have those. And, you know, living in a town that I live in, I don't think many people would actually want that. But of course, I was proven wrong. There's a high demand for it, I should say. And I took the leap of faith and joined a health club. You know, they brought me in and that gave me the opportunity to exit out of the factory work that I was in. I didn't like what I was doing when I was in the factory. I mean, it was okay, but I knew I was destined for more.
Yeah. And
people told me when I was working there, Anthony, you don't belong here. You need to do something.
Yeah.
So I took a leap of faith and just went with it. You know, I did personal training for a little bit. Then I got to corporate wellness for a little bit too. And then eventually I asked myself, what would it be like if I had my own training studio? Because like people are just like noticing people of the companies I worked with, how are you getting these results? I had the trainer at work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why not open myself up to the community then? So I did that. And that was a great time. It was awesome. But of course, COVID hit and it changed a lot. Something I realized when COVID happened is the connection with it. It's not the actual fitness people really need. It's the connection to empower the individual, to give them the tools and the skills that they need to succeed besides counting reps or counting seconds for the individual. Fitness is easy. What you do outside of that gym is what really matters.
Yeah.
And that's why I jumped in. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I just want to take a second to pause here and recap some of what we've talked about before we jump into kind of the next phase of the story here, if that's okay with you.
Yeah. So, for sure.
So first of all, I want to say, you know, I appreciate you sharing your story. It's, even though it's been 17 years, it's something that clearly still has a major impact on you. And I could tell that it was tough for you to be able to relive and think back to some of those moments. So definitely appreciate you having the willingness to share that, even though it's still a tough thing to do. The other thing, though, is, you know, going back to when you said, like, you started going to the gym and the first few months, you don't even talk to anybody. You're just like, you've got your sweatshirt on, the hood up, right? Like, you're hiding in the gym. And I know for a lot of guys, especially if they didn't grow up in the gym, if they didn't grow up working out, maybe they got laughed at or picked on when it came to sports because they weren't good athletes or whatever. The gym is this super scary place, right? It's this idea of, oh, I go in the gym, I'm going to get laughed at, people are going to stare at me. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say that there's not going to be some jerk that's going to laugh at you or make fun of you or judge you, right? That I can't promise you that guy's not going to be there. But what I can tell you is that most of the people in the gym are the kindest, most inspirational people you will ever meet in your life. And they want you to succeed. They are so excited when they see somebody come in who's not in shape and they see that person show up and they put in the work day after day, man. They are inspired by you. Right. Like you think, oh, I'm being inspired by the big, you know, guy, the big muscular dude over here. No, he's inspired by you because he knows how hard it is for you to show up every day.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's so true. Yeah. No, I'm glad you brought that up because one of my best friends is named Eric and he's noticed me a long time ago when I stepped into the Y. He's wow. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
Hey, but he keeps showing up.
Yeah.
He keeps showing up. And he said, after 6 months, I had so much respect for you because you kept coming and like you inspired till this day. I inspire him, but he's just being nice. he's a really great guy, inspiring. And but another one of my other best friends, he didn't see my obesity journey, but he got to see like when I was doing my endurance phase. That's really cool. Like, my friend, one of my best friends, like, I call him my brothers, like Joe, like you guys are my guys. You know, like another one to his dad, John. He gassed me up when I was self-confident and wearing certain clothes. Do I look okay? Yeah, man, that looks awesome. And it's like you said, they are there to support you. Of course, there was a couple stinkers in there, to say the in a nice way. That will just
those people are going to be everywhere.
They're not right, just exactly. We can't avoid them, right? You're going to see them at work. You're going to see them at church, whatever, library. but you'll find the people that resonate with you and respect you, and they will continue to cheer you on along the way.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. We need that connection to just keep going, being part of something that is greater than us.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think another thing that you brought up here, we didn't say this directly, so I want to pull this out. But you talked about how you were going to the gym, you were losing weight, and you started to feel better about yourself, right? The confidence started to come up because people were noticing, people were complimenting you. So at this point, all of that confidence, all of that feel good is coming from external sources. And I think for a lot of people, when they think about getting in shape, weight loss is usually the number one goal. And the reason why is because they think if I could just lose the weight, I'd feel better, I'd be more confident, and all this other stuff. And if you get the external validation, it can help you feel more confident, feel better about yourself. Mm-hmm. But if we fast forward to when you got the cancer diagnosis, there was that moment where you all of a sudden felt less confident. You felt the way you felt back when you were still massively overweight, before you lost 100 pounds. And you still had the weight off. Like maybe you had put on a little bit at this point, but like you still, for the most part, had not put this weight back on, right? You're still, you know, in fairly good shape at this point. And so being in shape didn't make you feel more confident. It didn't give you that comfort. It was a mindset thing. It is internal. And I think that's something that people, I hope they walk away from this conversation today with, is this understanding that yes, losing weight is great and highly encouraged, get healthy, do those things, right? But if you're chasing after confidence, if you're chasing after wanting to feel good about yourself, being able to have that championship mindset, it can't be about external validation. It's got to be in from inside. It's got to start with you.
Right. It's right here in the heart, right here between the ears. We have to take care of that first. Yep. And that's when I onboard someone into my program and they're like, okay, what are my macros and stuff going to be? I'm like, no, we're going to learn more about you first. I want to know who you are now and who it is that you want to become, because that's the real work. Yeah. Like, we'll just start out with the simple eat less stuff diet. If you want to call it that, eat less of the high processed stuff and just eat more of the green stuff, vegetables and all, so on and so forth. But no, you're 100% right. You know, if we don't take care of ourselves, what we tell ourselves, we don't stand a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, when we talk about things like, you know, nutrition and exercise and sleep and stress management, and all that kind of stuff, I always tell people, look, that stuff's important. But if you just start there, you're setting yourself up for failure. Yeah. Because it has to start inside. It has to start with your mindset. You have to start becoming the person you want to be before the results happen.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's crazy, right? That people are like, wait a minute, become that person until I become that person. Like, how does that happen?
Like, it magically just happens, right? But no, the mindset it's a wonderful thing. It can either empower you or it can literally destroy you. And my role is that coach, advisor, mentor, whatever you want to call me, is I'm here to gas you up and show you how you can develop that winning mentality just the way I did too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so much of it, right, is when I interview people and I hear these stories, I always see this commonality that comes out of everybody's story. There's a moment in every single person's story where they just go, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm going to do this, and that's it, right? For you, it was saying, you know what? I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to work out, even though they're telling me not to, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
But for you, because it became a part of your identity. At that point, it wasn't about going to the gym to lose weight or, you know, get six-pack abs or anything like that. It was about, literally, as you said, to be able to function. It was about just feeling healthy, feeling good about yourself, right? It was a part of that. I remember, and I think it's been like 5 years now, actually, I tore my rotator cuff. And I remember before surgery, I'm looking at, you know, recovery times or whatever. And I just read somewhere. It was like on the internet somewhere. It might not even been a credible source. I don't know. But it was like, some people can heal in as little as 4 months from, you know, actually get back, be able to, you know, get back to doing the stuff that you do. And I was like, that's what I'm going to do. That's going to be me.
Awesome.
I actually got full clearance in 3.5. So I actually beat the time.
Wow. But, nice.
But I think so much of it was because I went in with that mindset, right? Of, it wasn't, I hope I can do this, or maybe if I get lucky, that'll be, no, I'm going to do this. That was the mindset, right? And so I didn't do anything super crazy. You know, I followed the directions from my physical therapist, but I was the annoying patient who is going, can we try this? Can we try this? Can we try this? Can we try this?
Right. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And it's like the same as your story, right? It's about that mindset. And I hope that people are hearing that, right? That yes, all these amazing things that you've accomplished, but every last one of them started with you having the mindset to go out and do it.
Yeah, declare and proclaim what it is that you want and relentlessly pursue it along the way.
Yes. Yeah. I saw a post that you had on your Facebook where you're talking about a program that you were launching. This was like, I think, a few months ago. And I saw somebody had commented on your post saying, so you're really looking for people who are already winners So that's not really a transformation, right? And when I read it, I'm sitting there thinking, but it's not so much that you're looking for people who already are successful, because there's a difference between being a winner, someone who has a winning mindset, and being someone who already has success. Those aren't the same thing.
It's all very different. Very different. Like, one person can be really good at what they're doing for a living, but they totally neglect their health and wellness at the same time. And at some point they burn themselves out, and God knows what happened to not just their business or team, whatever the case may be, but like how it impact their family, themselves. And yeah, if you just go down that spiral, like I've seen, not the people I worked with, but I've seen like families get torn apart because they neglected, they chose not to take care of their health, like their mental well-being for the most part. What a shame.
And it all ties together, right? If you don't take care of your mental well-being, then your physical well-being suffers. And if you don't take care of your physical well-being, then your mental well-being suffers. And when those two areas of your life suffer, your family suffers, your friends suffer, your work suffers, everything suffers. So Anthony, tell us real quick, man, what does coaching look like with you? Like, when someone decides to work with you, like, what does that process look like?
Oh, you know, just eating nothing but lettuce and chicken. No, totally kidding, man. No,
Sorry, we're done.
Yeah, right. We're done now. Like, no. So it's a gradual process. So I want to be on board. Like I said, I want to get to know the individual. Like, we start developing that winning mindset right away off the bat. Tell me something that you did for yourself today. And for instance, an answer I just recently got was, oh, I helped my child overcome a situation at school. I'm like, that is great. What a wonderful win as a parent. But you didn't say anything about yourself. Mm-hmm. I want you to focus on yourself. That's hard for people to do. It's hard for us to recognize how awesome we're doing throughout the day. What did you do today? You, like, for instance, let's count. I'm a big fan of counting wins. Like, you woke up today. Well, that's a win. My gosh, like the best one of all. What else did you do? Did you make your bed? Awesome. Great. Did you drink water right away instead of drinking coffee? There. Good. Awesome. You brushed your teeth. You combed your hair. Stuff like that. You're taking care of yourself. Yeah. I'm like, you know, I decided to bring carrots and cucumbers to work instead of going to the vending machine. Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's, like, what else? Tell me. You know, and we get to know, I want to know what their deepest desires are. Like, why are you actually doing this? Why are we here? Is it just because you want to look good for your vacation in 3 months, or is you want to do this for the rest of your life? I know you want going on vacation, but I want you to set yourself up for the rest of your life. You know, like a common answer too. Like, I want to do it for my kids. I want to do it for my wife. That's not good enough. Yeah. I need to know why you want to do this. Tell me, tell yourself the truth. And that's something I always preach right away. I'm like, you got to tell yourself the truth. Not for me. Tell yourself the truth why you want to do this, because I'm sick and tired of feeling this way. I can't stand myself looking in the mirror. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Why do you feel that way?
I want to thank you for saying something you just said, because a lot of times I feel like I can't really say it because I don't have kids, right? Yeah. So as a father, point out to people that you are a father. You can say it, right? You're allowed to say this. But the thing is, yes, a lot of people think, oh, I have to put my kids, and this, especially a lot of men, this is a very common thing, right? It's kids and wife before me. And the reality is, you need to learn to put yourself first. Right. Because if you're not taking care of yourself, how are you going to be at your best for them?
Yeah.
They need you to be at your best. And to be at your best, you have to put yourself in the priority position sometimes.
Right. And something I say too, I'm like, you know what? Your kid's going to piss you off and your wife's going to piss you off at some point. And what are you going to do? Because that reason is going to be gone for a hot second. You're just going to go reach a Bush Light beer in your in your refrigerator and just start going to town on Cheetos because you know what? You had a bad day with them. No, we need to know. We need to figure out why you want to do this for yourself. That way we could just continue to remind ourselves, this is why I'm doing this. And of course, like imagining yourself over the course of time, like how is it you want to feel, how you want to present yourself, so on and so forth. Do you see yourself as a better family man, a better husband, you know, excellent, a better leader for not like for at home? And of course, if you run a team or something like that, like you're going to make a huge impact on a lot of people. Like people are going to like notice what you're doing and they're going to ask you how you're doing it.
Yeah.
And they're going to follow you because they respect you.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Love you. So, wow, like you're making great changes. I want to do this too because you're inspiring them. It's like you said, like the person at the gym that has all the muscles, like you, like they're inspired by seeing other people with their transformations too. Like I guarantee you, you're going to inspire people at the gym if you're walking in there overweight. You know, like they might doubt you at first, but might think, how long is this person going to last? But if you just keep showing up for yourself,
leave, right?
You're like, right. Yeah. So, but if you keep showing up for yourself and you just gain that respect from so many people, and a lot of people value that. They value respect, especially guys.
Yeah.
Like, they want to be respected. Take care of yourself. I don't care. I don't care what kind of car you drive. If you have let's say an Audi R8, which is my favorite car. If you come out of that car struggling to get out of it, I am not impressed at all. I am more impressed with someone that comes out of there looking like they take care of themselves and just present themselves a certain way, like magnetic. I'm like, that person's cool. Like I want to get to know them. But anyways, yes, build up that mindset in my program first and foremost. And we get to know who they are, who they want to become, and make actionable steps in order to get closer to what it is that they want. And we focus on sleep. We focus on eating habits and fitness, of course, as well. It's like, it's a whole spectrum of my program. Honestly, the fitness is probably the last thing I think about, but it is part of it. If you're not taking care of yourself outside of gym, well, then what's the point? I'm like, you're not doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you and I are similar in the fact that when we were both really overweight, we actually started doing probably more in the gym than what we really needed to.
Oh, definitely.
Because we just did what we thought we were supposed to do.
And, right.
But I can tell in hindsight after doing this for over a decade now that it's not even necessary, right? Honestly, most people, if you just get out and just move more, just go on some walks in the afternoon or something, and just start getting some activity in your life, then fitness is honestly the last thing you really need to change. It's a lot of people think it's the first thing you need to change. And I think a big part of it is, I did too. But yeah. I think a lot comes from this idea that we have falsely been taught that the purpose of exercise is to burn calories. That's not the purpose of exercise.
Right. Right.
The purpose of exercise is to shape your body, to build your energy systems, and to create a body that functions. That's the purpose of exercise. It has nothing to do with losing weight.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
100%. So, yeah. It's like the way I go about it is like mindset, sleep, nutrition, movement is the way I go about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those things, man, where I think the fitness industry has figured out if we can make people unhappy about their weight, if we can make people desperately think that losing weight by itself is the answer to everything, then we can really crank up the pressure to get them to want results as fast as possible. It becomes easier to sell people supplements and diet pills and surgeries and everything else. That's why most people in this industry are doing anything they can to get your attention. They're pumping out crazy diets. They're doing crazy exercises. They're doing anything they can to try to get your attention, right? And the reality is that all of that stuff is garbage. Which you really need.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be consistent. That's what you need.
Yeah, like simplicity, consistency, times patience, and you'll get there. I promise you. Like, but that's the problem. Like, people say that's just too easy. Like, it's almost like we're searching for something really hard to do. Like, it's hard enough to shape yourself, to change your mindset. Like, why would you add some more of that garbage along the way? You know, like when people do 75 hard, I'm like, I would never do that. If I've seen a lot of people have great success with it, but I take that back because they revert back to the ways after that. So what did you really learn? You can do hard stuff for 75 days, but you can't do it for the rest of your life. Perfect. Great. So let that be a learning lesson. So, and that's why I always tell people again, if you just keep things super simple, keep your meals simple as possible. Like, you don't have to have 50 different ingredients in it. Be consistent with it and just be super patient along the way. That's the biggest struggle for most people, where, you know, like as you mentioned with the fitness industry, where we're throwing out, you know, 6 week challenges, 8 week challenges, 12 week challenge. Like, I never thrown a challenge in my fitness career because I don't believe in them. Because, like, you and I both know it takes a little while to get there. Like, I'm not trying to sprint, get someone to sprint to their destination. I want this to be a sustainable lifestyle for them.
If somebody wants to start with, say, 12 weeks, just because they want to say, okay, I'm going to commit to doing this time period, then what I would encourage is get with a coach like Anthony or myself who understands that, hey, our goal isn't to try to get you all the way to 100% in 3 months, right? In those 12 weeks. It's really about starting you where you are and moving you forward over those 12 months or those 12 weeks so that on week 13, you're not finished, you're taking the next step.
It's that next
That's
level. Exactly.
where you should be, right? It's not about being done in 12 weeks. It's about being ready for the next level in 12 weeks. That's the difference to me.
Because every new level requires a new you. And like when you develop that mindset, you'll accept that new challenge along the way rather than, it feels like a grind, right? And when people say, like, embrace the grind, I'm like, I'm trying to like avoid that. So I'm here to make this as simple as possible. So I don't feel like of course it's going to be a grind, but I don't look at it as a grind, especially when you know exactly what you're playing for. It almost seems like it's effortless. And people laugh like when I say that to them, you've been doing it the hard way the whole time. Like, you can just keep doing what you're doing, or I'm just going to keep living my easy day life. Like, it's obviously, it works for me. It works for so many people that I work with. And I get to see the trickle effect, the ripple effect on how that impacts the individual is so cool. Like, it impacts like their families, their friends, as you mentioned before, like their whoever they encounter, really, like their communities too. Like, it's so powerful.
It really is, man. I mean, I think I'll leave with this note that I'm going to let you have the final word here. When I see people talk about, oh, exercise is hard, eating healthy is hard, all these things are hard. When you get to the other side, when you've done what Anthony and I have done, when you've lost a lot of weight, when you've made the change, when you've made the transformation, you're going to look back and you're going to realize that you are living a very hard life. And the only reason it didn't feel hard to you at the time was because it was so familiar, because it was so comfortable, because it was so routine. And the exact same thing is going to apply to the changes you're making. The more you do them, the more consistent you are with them, the more routine they become, the easier they start to feel. It's not going to be until you start to feel better that you're going to realize just how bad you actually felt. So, final words from you, and then after you give us your final thoughts, tell people how they can get a hold of you.
Ask yourself this question: who could you become if you allowed yourself to? Imagine how much more of a great leader, a role model you would be. Becoming like as you become the healthier, stronger, like more It's a champion. You show up as a champion to the world. You're better for your family. You're better for your team. You're better for your community. You're great. You know, we want to see your greatness. So give yourself permission to win. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram at Anthony Flores. If you want to visit my website to apply for coaching, you can go to www.theeasydaylife.com.
All right. Well, appreciate it, man. Anthony, thanks for coming so much, sharing your story, your insight. Loved our conversation today. And I just want to remind everyone, as always, that none of us are born unshakable, but we can all become unshakable.
Thank you for listening to the Unshakable Habits Podcast with Coach Stephen Box. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and help us spread the word by sharing the podcast with other men. If you're ready to create unshakable habits, you can learn more and connect with us at unshakablehabits.com.